This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Aye.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We have a great show lined up for you. We're also going to have some other great analysts, including who I'm kicking off the show with, Peter Buchvar, Chief Market Analyst over at the Lindsay Group. Peter, thanks for starting this segment and next segment off with us.
Thank you, Corey.
Peter, let's get right into it. What's been in the news throughout this week, even second half of last week, and that is what the Fed is going to do in terms of rate hikes, but more specifically, all the Fed speeches. This week, we saw a ton of Fed presidents be marched out, including Janet Yellen at the tail end of the week. But the overall narrative, ever since we saw the minutes from last month's Fed meeting, has been a shift in the potential of a rate hike coming on the table next month. Although, as we're recording this, I think the expectation is right in between about 30% and 40%. That's up quite a bit from last week. Where do you stand generally on this right now, Peter?
The Fed's in this unusual bind in that if you looked at the data and you saw 5% unemployment rate, you saw core CPI 2.1%, and the S&P 500 near record highs, how can the Fed funds rate be at 37.5 basis points? But on the other hand, you look at manufacturing, which is flatlining. Corporate earnings are now declining. You have GDP growth in 2016 likely to be under 2%. And you say, well, how can the Fed be hiking? And from listening to these Fed members, they seem to be much more optimistic about growth and the ability of reaching their 2% target because they've already said they've reached their employment mandate. That they further want to separate themselves from a zero interest rate. And I think the talk of from some of, oh, we'll raise 2 to 3 to 4 more times this year is nonsense because I don't think the economy can handle it. But it certainly seems clear that they want to raise again. June, of course, is right before the UK vote, so it's likely that they maybe hold off before that. But then they'd want to raise in July because that gives them another hike under their belt, and it's far away enough from the election that they won't get into the political dirt related to that.
There's so many questions out there, aren't there, Peter, because there's so many different factors. Just like you mentioned, that Brexit vote coming a week after this upcoming meeting, and then also the election coming down the road. Do you think the Fed wants to raise rates for either A, the ability to cut rates later on down the road, but I think that would be much later, or just for the mentality of getting out of this free money that seems to be on every investor's mind?
Well, I think it's a combination of that. And I think also they're running models. Commodity prices have stopped going down, which it looks like it clearly has. Combined with 3% services inflation, they're going to have headline inflation in the back half of this year approaching 2%. So they don't want to get stuck by year end with all their mandates met, and they're still stuck at, again, 37 basis points or even, let's just say, 62.5 basis points. It's a really bad position to be in, and I think they want to get away from that. You know, for 7 years into a recovery, and now they're deciding, okay, it's time, is, of course, pretty pathetic. The jobs picture in 2014 were averaging 250,000 jobs a month. Last year, we're averaging out it's about 200, and now this year we're below 200. So now in their infinite wisdom, they think, okay, now's the right time to do this. But I think also that, you know, they don't want to get trapped. I think they don't want to be trapped like the Japanese did, and they're going to do their best and find every excuse now to get out of it, whereas before they were using every excuse not to raise rates.
Now, what about these inflation expectations? Because I remember talking to you, it must have been over a year ago, maybe even a year and a half ago, beginning of 2015, when you said, yeah, you know, inflation definitely isn't really on the table now, but when commodities start to bottom and even just move sideways, that's going to make a big difference in their inflation expectations and equation that they use, simply because we went through a period of 4 or 5 years of decreasing commodities. We are seeing so far this year a bit more of a bottoming. We all know the precious metals have done fairly well, but even the base metals, at least they're not falling. So do you think later on this year inflation is going to pick up a bit more?
I think just based on the math of recycling out the sharp declines, it will in itself raise headline inflation. And the problem the Fed has is services inflation remaining very sticky. Of course, a lot of it's due to rent and medical care, but we saw in the CPI last week, services inflation ex energy up 3%. And now the declines in energy prices are shrinking. And by the back half of this year, may actually be flattening out. So we all know the Fed focuses on rate of change here. It doesn't look at the absolute level of CPI. The absolute level of CPI, you know, is near record highs. It's the rate of change that they obsess on, and this 2% target. And based on rate of change, they're going to get to their target in the back half of this year. I don't think they want to be raising rates near the election, and I think that's why they're itching to do it well before it, so they can't get blamed for anything. Now, that said, if we go into recession and the market falls a lot, they'll certainly get blamed by the Democrats. But on the other hand, if we had 2% inflation in the back half of this year, you'd have the Republicans saying, how come the Fed's not raising rates? They want to give the election to the other side. So it's a politically very difficult situation. And again, I think that's why they're trying to do this sooner rather than later.
Now, as for some of these data points that the Fed is looking at, the data points have actually been moving further and further in their favor, but the Fed has expressed concerns over, first of all, in different countries around the world that continue to struggle, especially in Europe, even concerns out of China, but also on the domestic markets. Do you think the Fed is still going to keep these in mind, and these could be some reasons why they push back a rate hike if they don't do it?
See, we can be rational, but when you're dealing with PhD economists, you know, they're very much wedded to their models. And their models see labor market that's tightening, but that's not necessarily good for growth because productivity has been slow. And the inflation statistics are moving up, and international developments, which they've cited in the past, are calming down. But at the same time, GDP growth is now less than 2%. Corporate profits are now shrinking, and that's obviously a precursor to a future slowdown in capital spending and potential hiring. So if you look at the Fed models, it's keeping out some of these other things and focused on them meeting their mandate. So when you take a step back, manufacturing is flatlining, and GDP growth is going to be less than 2%, and the Fed's ready to raise interest rates. But again, this is just, we're in uncharted monetary fantasy land. And, you know, things don't always have to make sense.
Now, Peter, the recent moves in the U.S. dollar, how do you feel the Fed narrative is in affecting this, and also just the charting position, almost a technical trade for when the U.S. dollar dropped below 92 points on the index?
I mean, I get the dollar index rally. I mean, if people think the Fed's now going to be raising rates, okay, buy the dollar. But, you know, the dollar index is still 5 points away from a high it touched in March 2015. You know, we're more than a year from the high, and the Fed's about to raise a second time. So, you know, any tape watcher should say, you know what, maybe this dollar bullishness doesn't have as firm a basis as I previously thought. I'm not thinking that the Fed's going to be on this multi rate hike cycle this year and next, because I think we're going to run into economic and market trouble again on another rate hike. And I think the U.S. economy at this stage of the cycle is bordering on recession, and that's certainly not dollar positive. So I would fade this dollar rally, more than a year away from a dollar peak, and on the cusp of the second rate hike, says a lot about what people think about the U.S. dollar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based only upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at Emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, pack flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at Emberlit.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be, clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Peter Buchvar. Peter, at the tail end of last segment, we left off with your comments on a concern about a recession coming around the corner for the U.S. and the markets in general. Can you elaborate on why you think a recession might be around the corner here in the U.S.?
Well, if we break down the GDP, exports are essentially declining. Capital spending is flatlining. And the only thing keeping us afloat is consumer spending, which certainly in April we had a nice upside surprise. But the carnage we've seen in retail stocks and retail earnings, I don't think is just a channel shift on the internet and to Amazon. I think consumers are very tight with their budgets. The savings rate's going higher. I think 35% of households, which is the most since the 1960s, is experiencing near 4% rent increases. And I think healthcare costs are taking a big chunk out of family budgets. So I think that the consumer is really the only thing keeping us afloat. And I wonder, you know, for how much longer that is the case. Now, on one hand, higher wages is going to be a good thing, which I'm definitely happy about. Their savings rate is going higher, so even higher wages may not necessarily be spent. If corporate profits, which are now declining, leads to maybe a slowdown in hiring and maybe a slowdown or a offset to that hope for wage increases, you know, that's another thing to watch. But you know, you're 7 years into an expansion, and you're pushing up against Mother Nature in terms of economic cycles. And I know people say the cycle doesn't end of old age, but the older you get, the more vulnerable you are to slips and falls. And I think right now GDP growth in 2016 is going to be less than 2%, which puts us more vulnerable to slips and falls.
I also must say that tired is also another term that can be used to describe a market that goes on for, 7 years and so. But Peter, before we get into precious metals, which I want to talk to you about, let's talk about what we're seeing in the U.S. markets here. We're seeing funds flow some more money and capital into more defensive sectors. We're also seeing the market kind of trend sideways in a choppy manner. What do you think about the fund flows and where the market might be going here?
Well, certainly to your point, the rally in consumer non-durables and has been striking with PE multiples well north of 20 times, as everyone is willing to pay that kind of multiple for, you know, a 3% type dividend yield and earnings growth that is somewhat steady. But when you start paying 25 times earnings, no matter what the business is, it's not really that safe anymore. And it just tells you that, listen, people realize the economy is very fragile, that growth is very slow, and a lot of people are buying dividend-paying stocks as essentially bond proxies. And they've turned a big portion of the stock market into their own personal bond market because they know they can't get yield in the bond market.
So is this just simply funds just chasing yield, which seems like a lot of investors are doing right now?
It's chasing yield and being in businesses that are less susceptible to the cyclical slowdown that we're seeing. But again, at the same time, the risk is that they're paying a very rich multiple in order for that privilege.
Yeah, they are paying a huge multiple right now. Peter, what about this run that we've seen in gold for the first half of the year? The first month was very, very good. Second month, we had a pretty nice follow-through. And from that time, we've been moving sideways. The stocks have been doing quite well, and silver even popped over the last, let's say, month and a half. Do you think that the market needs a bit of a pullback, or overall, is this healthy?
It is. Today, in fact, I looked at the relative strength index in gold, and gold is the most oversold since mid-December. And after the rally that it had and the dollar rally we've seen over the past couple of weeks on the Fed speak, you know, I can understand the pullback. And a pullback is good because it shakes out weak hands. And it's an important part, I think, of a stair-step process higher that is well needed. But I think when people wake up to the fact that selling gold because the Fed's going to raise 25 basis points and we're going to be at 62.5 basis points instead of 37.5 basis points is a pretty specious reason. We have to remember that in the mid-2000s, the Fed raised the Fed funds rate from 1% to 5%. And during that time frame, gold went from 400 to 700. So if you sold gold when the Fed funds rate went from 1 to 1.5, because you said, oh, 50 basis points is bad for gold. Well, you missed and you're doubling in its price.
Doesn't a lot have to do with real interest rates as well?
Exactly. And I think that's what people are not necessarily focused on. We have core CPI running now 2.1%. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm expecting headline inflation to move up. And I can guarantee you that headline inflation will move up quicker than the Fed will be raising the Fed funds rate.
So, Peter, do you think that we're going to have a pullback in gold then? Or do you think that it will be able to?
We're already in the midst of it. I mean, we're already in the midst of it. I mean, gold touched 1,300 and now we're down to 1,220. So we're in the middle of the correction. Now we're getting actually oversold. So I don't expect much further downside from here relative to the potential upside.
Yeah, I think that when you're a longer-term holder, too, I think people see just where gold could go, and especially some of these stocks. If you look at some of the ETFs, they're way, way off of their highs from, well, a number of years ago now. But is this going to be a slow recovery for gold or something like we saw back in 2008, 2009 when we saw that V-shape, sharp V-shape recovery?
Well, V-shape recoveries always flame out. So I would actually like to see a more gradual stair-step type bull market because those are the ones that are firmer and longer lasting. Answering that question is obviously extremely difficult, especially when you're dealing with an asset that doesn't generate any cash flows and a lot of the movements are psychological. But I think from a fundamental standpoint, whether you look at negative interest rates around the world, central bankers that are really losing a lot of credibility, and I think that was most noteworthy in the beginning part of this year when the market response to Kuroda and Draghi was the exact opposite of what they were trying to achieve, I think should have been a wake-up call that this era of modern-day monetary activism and its effectiveness has hit a wall. That is the most direct bullish case you can have for gold and silver.
Do you think this is a good thing that the markets are starting to almost go against the central banks in some instances?
Well, I do think it's a good thing, but at the same time, it could be a very scary thing because we know that markets and the economy have been built on this artificial construct of easy money and faith in central banks. So, yeah, longer term, we want to get away from that, but God, we're going to have a really nasty hangover in between.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And I think we're starting to see the signs of this year. I think one of our commentators, Richard Postmiller, he called it last year that said 2016 is going to be a year of transition for the markets, for the metals. And I think that's a very good way of putting it. We are seeing a year of transition and switching course.
Well, Peter, let me add one more quick word to the transition. There's also going to be a year of withdrawal, especially if the Fed rate raises rates again. So we'd have the end of QE and now two rate hikes. The monetary medicine is dripping a little less in the U.S.
Oh, and that definitely scares, I'm sure, some people that are concerned about some liquidity traps and just the general easy money that has kept these markets going.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's BEESPA.com. That's BEESPA.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing with the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're now talking with Chris Temple. Chris, there are so many potentials out there in terms of interest rates. What with the Fed saying we're very, very hawkish, other people saying we're very, very dovish. I got to tell you, this has got to be driving investors crazy. Given the various scenarios, what do you think people have to watch for here?
The first thing people need to do, Al, is to define their terms and understand when they hear any discussion on interest rates what it is we're talking about. For instance, I said way back late last year before the Fed brought out its first rate hike, or first so far at least, that you're going to see the long end of the market yields actually decline. And that's exactly what's happened. We've seen a flattening yield curve. So we first need to define our terms and realize that it's only one part of the equation for the Fed to raise short-term interest rates, which it may or may not do again next month or in July. You know, we're getting talked to death again on that subject as usual. But for investors, what is just as important is to look at the long end of the market and try and determine what to do with their money as a result of that. Now, BlackRock, which is a big ETF marketer and investment house, they came out with a paper recently which, among other things, reported that in the week after Japan several weeks ago surprised the markets after saying they weren't going to do it and went negative on interest rates. In just the following week, $1 billion in new money came into their funds just from Japan. Europe, you've got rates that are near negative going out many years. You know, the JGBs for 10 years are negative. If you wanted to loan the Japanese government money for 10 years, it's going to cost you 10 basis points. If you want to loan money to Germany for the next 10 years, you're going to get a lousy 16 or 18 basis points as we're recording this. So in that context, the 10-year Treasury note at 1.8% as we're recording this looks pretty darn good in comparison. So that's one of the reasons why, even though, as I argued earlier this week in our regular spots, you should see the Treasury market selling off and yields going up, they just aren't. Because even if investors in this country were selling Treasuries, foreign investors are going to buy them up just as fast. What else is out there? Because even 1.8% is not that great. And my answer is this. There is a whole universe of good dividend-paying stocks and fairly safe bonds, even ETFs and corporate bonds and the like, yielding considerably more than Treasuries, that in my view, and this is if the Fed can steer us through this muddle-through environment on our way to this stagflation-light world that I've talked about, and we don't have deflation come back, but we get, you know, just this muddle-through with modestly rising inflation in time, there's a lot of money that's going to be made in really good companies, real estate investment trusts, where you've got dividend yields just from the ones on my list, anywhere from 3 to sometimes 7 or 8% for good, solid companies.
Well, and Chris, this brings us to the bigger picture here, and it's all about, I think for a lot of investors out there, where to find yield. I know a lot of people like to speculate, and they like to see, you know, huge increases if they are playing certain sectors of investments, especially maybe if they are speculating in small mining companies. But there is a large part of your portfolio that should be focused on generating yield, and almost in that aspect, a safer yield, something that people can rely on. You mentioned real estate investment trust, REITs. Is there anywhere else that you think people can look to that should do well if we are in this environment where we are going to muddle through, but the Fed is pretty determined on raising at least the short-term interest rates?
Well, first of all, I am making the assumption, Corey, that the Fed will continue to err on the side of caution. As we're talking today, and who knows what it's going to be next month, but as we're talking today, the Fed is feeling pretty good about the markets being healthier and having the window now in which to get at least one more rate hike out of the way without blowing things up. And I think they're going to try and do that. But in the grand scheme of things, they will continue to be behind the curve as we see markets bubble up, as we see particularly consumer prices start to go up. Last month in April, the CPI was up almost at a 5% annualized rate, the fastest pace in a few years. That's likely to continue if this move that we've seen recently in oil sticks. Rents continue to go up. Healthcare costs are going up much faster than this core rate. And so as long as the Fed stays behind the curve and real interest rates are not going up, but indeed are staying negative, then markets should at least maintain the kind of choppiness or equilibrium, whatever you want to call it, we've seen recently. And in that environment, the money is going to gravitate towards a lot of the areas of fixed income that have not been getting the attention they deserve because people have still been so cautious and still worried about looking over their shoulder, worrying about a China collapse or some other kind of collapse. And that may still happen. We don't know. But that's an ever-present risk. But I think that there's great opportunities. Let's talk, for example, real quick about municipal bonds, one of the exchange-traded funds I've recommended. I mean, that thing's going up at a total return annualized of 20% or better. For months now. You've got almost a 5% dividend yield. The price of the ETF has gone up as the bond market has strengthened. It's we hear the stories about, you know, Puerto Rico and Illinois, but by and large, when you look over the whole country, municipal governments are not in terrible shape. Default rates are extremely low, almost non-existent right now. And people are starting to wake up to that and say, hey, you know, 4.5%, and if you're a U.S. investor in a non-taxable or a taxable account, rather, you've got a tax break. What's not to like about that? When a money market fund pays zero, et cetera. Look at some of the great real estate investment trusts that are out there. I've talked often about the philosophy of find a theme that is going to endure no matter what is going on in the marketplace. You know, Renter Nation is one theme I've used. Look up APTS, Preferred Apartment Communities, another real estate investment trust. It's one of the, even after about a 30 or 40% total return in the last year with its dividend and share price growth, it's still by far and away cheaper than some of the larger and better known REITs that are out there. 6% plus dividend yield. Medical Properties Trust, MPW, great REIT that is in hospital and similar things, not only in the U.S., but also in Europe now. The company went through a bit of a hiccup last year where the share price got hit for a while when they were expanding at too rapid a pace for some people's taste. They had to clean up some debt issues, and they actually sold a few properties, but now the stock is on fire again. And here again, you've got something way beyond the yield that you get most places, and a fairly good stock and a good story. You know, I don't care what you think about the Fed and the plunge protection team and bulls and bears and dogs and cats or anything. People are getting older. The planet is getting older, and they need hospitals. They need long-term care facilities, et cetera. So you've got lots of opportunities in places like this. And, you know, Jeremy Siegel from Wharton came out, and he's one that has talked about this recently along with BlackRock, and was suggesting earlier this week, and on this I happen to agree with him, that you've got a whole universe of stocks like this out there that have really been, to a great extent, ignored by the market. And that's not going to go on forever. And especially if the Fed does keep things together, we don't first have a deflationary implosion that would hurt everything. I think, you know, pension funds that have to do it, retirees that have to do it, they're going to start looking at some of these places because they're not getting yield anyplace else.
Well, you know, Chris, long story short, I agree with what you're saying completely in the sense that I think the market is changing complexion right now. I really do. REITs, with real estate doing what it's doing right now, I think are a great place to be, the fundamentally sound REITs. And I've got to tell you, I also am very, very bullish on some of what I would call the virtual companies, companies like Uber, companies like Amazon, etc. I think that represents the future of the economy of the United States. Interesting times we're in. Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I have on the line with me Managing Director of Incrementum AG, a research and investing firm based out of Austria, Ronald Peter Stofferle. Ronnie, you and I were chatting off mic about the general concept of a recession in the U.S., if it is right around the corner, and some of the data points that point towards a recession. Can you please share with us your thoughts on, let's start off with the overall broad spectrum look at the U.S. economy and if you think it is moving into a recession.
Sure. Hi, Corey. Well, first of all, I think that the current expansion has been extremely long. We're already in the eighth year of economic expansion. And, you know, compared to historical business cycle patterns, I think that the beginning of a recession appears to be increasingly likely. But we also have to say that this recovery has also been pretty weak. I mean, since 1971, there have been six recessions in the U.S., and the duration of the average economic expansion between these contractions amounted to 5.4 years. So it's a long period without a recession. On the other hand, it's a very, very weak recovery. So from my point of view, it can go on perhaps a bit longer, but I would not say 100% that we'll enter recession in 2016. But I think there are quite a lot of signs that the economic structure is just getting weaker. And of course, we're always criticizing interest rate policy because it just destroys the capital structure. And that's really important to say. So I think that we're on very, very thin ice. Of course, there is a number of indicators that we're following and that suggest that the U.S. might enter recession pretty soon. Of course, earnings have been really disappointing. Also as a consequence of strong US dollar, of course. We are seeing that bank charge-offs and delinquencies are rising pretty quickly. We are seeing the consequences of the whole bust of the oil price. I mean, Texas, for example, I really didn't know it's a 1.6 trillion economy, so it would be the 12th largest economy in the world. And Texas will enter a recession pretty soon because of the damage that's going on in the oil sector. Industrial production is looking really weak. Manufacturers' new orders are looking weak. ISM look quite weak. And first and foremost, I think that the yield curve is now the flattest since 2007. And that's a really, really strong sign that we might be close to a recession.
So across the board, I would agree with you. We are seeing some weaker economic numbers, but we're seeing weak economic numbers around the world. So do you think that the rest of the world is also entering a recession if we do believe that the U.S. is going down that road?
Sure. I mean, Japan is very close to recession. We're seeing, in fact, we're seeing stagflation in Russia, in Brazil, and so on. Taiwan looks really weak. Taiwan is a very, very important leading indicator because of its technology sector. Italy looks pretty weak. So I think there's quite a number of countries that are already in a recession or that will enter recession pretty soon. But from my point of view, don't get me wrong, a recession is just something normal, something really healthy. So from my point of view, recession should be regarded as the lesser evil. In fact, I think for the longer term, it's positive to have recession. It's just normal because productivity and competitiveness increase. We're seeing that all those misallocations that are happening, they are written off or liquidated. Government mismanagement of the economy is exposed. And we are seeing that recessions allow us restructuring of production processes. So recession is something normal, something healthy, and the longer we postpone it with low rates and monetary stimuli, the higher the problem or the bigger the problems will be when we finally enter recession.
I'm glad you brought up this point here, Ronnie, that a recession would be healthy for the U.S. And I think there's a lot of people out there who sometimes look at the recession and think, you know, that's going to be the gloom and doom, everything's going to come crashing down. That's not exactly the case. It is good for an economy to go through a bit of a rebalancing, and that might be all that it is. But do you think that the Fed or other central bankers would be able to step aside and let the economy go through a natural recession rebalancing type of atmosphere?
Don't think that's going to happen. I mean, that there would have to be a U-turn by the strategy and the policy of central bankers. They just won't allow it because, you know, recessions also mean, of course, higher unemployment. Recessions, they basically show, they bring to light all those malinvestments and other mistakes that were made. And that's something sometimes quite brutal and quite sobering. At the moment, of course, we're in a planned economy. It's, I would say, monetary socialism. We all know that socialism doesn't work. There's plenty of books about those topics, mainly from authors close to the Austrian School of Economics. And for some reason, economists think that central bankers know what the right interest rate is. I totally disagree. That's a fatal conceit, how Hayek would have said. So I think if the U.S. should be entering a recession sooner or later, it's pretty obvious what they will be doing. They will implement negative rates. They will perhaps do something like helicopter money. Of course, they would find a different name because helicopter money doesn't sound very sophisticated. There might be another round of QE. They want, of course, a weaker dollar. There will be more fiscal stimulus and so on. So I'm absolutely certain that central bankers and politicians will not allow this reallocation of capital and resources that it, that would be needed.
Well, I agree. I don't think that the central bankers would stand idly by. But if we are moving into even more of an easy money policy, which we have seen other countries, especially, let's say, Japan and Europe, continue down that road, how do you think investors should be allocating their money, not only on a protection type of basis, but also in a way to hopefully get some yield and build on their wealth?
Yeah, it's a tough environment to be an investor. You know, Austrians are really keen on skiing, and I always make this comparison that when the snow is fine and it's sunny and the conditions are really good, then everybody is a good skier. But when visibility is low, when it's foggy, when it's icy, then you really can differentiate if one is a good skier or not. So I think at the moment as an investor, it's really extremely complicated and difficult to invest safely. One point, of course, is to develop some sort of an anti-fragile portfolio, like Nassim Taleb mentioned it. So you really want very low correlations within your portfolio. Of course, from my point of view, inflation will be a major topic going forward, perhaps even stagflation. And this is the pain trade for every institutional investor that are extremely overweight fixed income, of course. So I think as a private investor, you've got major disadvantages compared to big institutional investors. Of course, as you know, I really like gold, especially at this price level. I'm very keen on mining stocks. I think in general, inflation-sensitive assets, also commodities, energy, looks very interesting at the moment. And I also think that managed futures in this environment totally makes sense. So we just implemented a new strategy that is based on the permanent portfolio concept, where we're also implementing managed futures. So I think it's a tough environment for investors. We wrote a book about it, actually, Austrian School for Investors. We should not forget that the last 30 years, it was pretty easy to be a successful investor.
Ronnie, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. I think you bring up some good points, that there are opportunities to be had if the economy and the general markets go into a recessionary type of phase here, and I think people need to be aware, and I think there are people that are aware that the economy is not as strong as some of the central bankers would like us to believe, but being positioned and taking advantage of an opportunity like that is important, and looking at some asset classes and some markets that have been beat down while we have been on this very impressive run for conventional markets, especially over the last, let's say, 6 to 7 years. Ronnie, always enjoyable chatting with you. Thank you for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with the Trader's Corner to kick off the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
Join me, George Norrie, at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.